even as a baby, and even in his infancy, there was no room at the end. When I think about that, I realized what was going on, but even I think about it even further today, I often wonder, is there room for Jesus in our lives today? We get so caught up in so many different things, and we get this busy worldly schedule. I began to wonder sometime by the conduct of so many people, and sometimes my own conduct, you know, are we pushing Jesus Christ out? Do we not have room in our hearts? Do we not have room in our life for the very one that saves us? How much room does Jesus Christ have in your life today? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. How much room does Jesus Christ have in my life? How much room does he have in our heart? How much room does he have in our minds? How much power does Jesus Christ have over our body and our soul? And our bodies we know belong to the Lord because that's the Lord's temple. Amen. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. We often hear people say things such as, I can do whatever I want. This is my body. No, it's not. It is the temple of the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. And we are to be good stewards of what God blesses us with. Amen? So how much room, seriously speaking, does Jesus have? Even as a baby. Even from his very beginning. Even from his birth, there seemed to be not much room for Jesus. In the society we live in today, it appears to be not much room for Jesus. I want to show you how this got started in the book of Luke, if you don't mind, over in Luke chapter 2. We'll look together at verses 1 through 12. All found? All right. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was for them in the end. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Watch verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This Jesus Christ, they did not have room for him in the end. Yes or no? No room there. So it warrants the question, you know, we know that Jesus in infancy, there was a perfect plan, but there was no room for him. Even when he was growing up, we know that people rejected him. Even though when he became adult, we still have his closest followers that betrayed him. So I asked a question today, and I believe it warrants the question, what are we doing in our life with Jesus? Do we have room in our heart for Jesus today? Do we have room in our life for Jesus today? Am I so caught up in doing what I want with no regard as to what the Lord wants in my life? How much room is there for Jesus this very day? I think about verse 7 in that passage of Scripture where the Bible says Jesus was placed in a manger because there was no room in the inn. This Son of God, Almighty, Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Savior, mine, was placed in a manger. You understand what a manger is, right? That's not the cribs that we see today. That's not the baby beds with a Certepedic mattress or, you know, one of those real nice ones. It was a tool that was used, if I may. It was something that was built to feed the animals, wasn't it? And then something that was used to feed the animal. Probably I wasn't there. But maybe there was some hay that was put down in there, and then Jesus was placed into that. No room in the inn, so where did our Jesus end up? He got second, third, or fourth best, didn't he? They did what they could do. Are we doing that today? Are we letting Jesus reside in our heart? Are we letting him reside in our minds? Are we letting him reside in our life? Is he the ruler of what we do? Is he the one that we make decisions about and with? I hope and pray today that in our lives that there is room for Jesus Christ. I'm just so afraid that we can find ourselves in this competitive world, and we may not realize that Jesus Christ is slowly being evicted from our lives. I want us to look back into our own lives and make sure that we understand the necessity, the urgency of making sure that there is room for Jesus Christ. I appreciate Brother Larry bringing that passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 down in verse 14. You know, Jesus wants to be part of our life, doesn't he? Jesus wants to rule our lives, but there are some conditions that must be met. And when I go back over to 2 Chronicles 7:14, Brother Larry broke that down perfectly. And he said there's four components of that passage of Scripture. Larry, I think, honestly, you read my notes right there. Four components. But he didn't, I promise. But in these four components, there was also a conditional word in there too. The Bible says, if my people, watch this, who are called by my name. Here's a condition. If they'll humble themselves, stop thinking that you can rule your own life. Stop thinking you don't need God. If the Bible says, if you'll humble yourselves, quit thinking you're all that. Watch this. And pray and seek my face is what the Lord is saying. Turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You want to talk about what can turn our world around today? People. Amen. If the people today, if we would just stop the iniquity, stop the fighting, stop the feuding, stop the wars, stop stealing, stop adultering, stop using illegal drugs, stop all of these things, and then turn to the very one that can lead us to heaven, turn to Jesus Christ, because in my life as a Christian, in your life as a Christian, there is room for Jesus Christ. Say that with me. There is room for Jesus Christ. So I want to make sure that when we leave the building today, as we walk out of the doors, if you get nothing else out of the lesson, yes, there's room in my life for Jesus. That's what I want us to think about, because we're going to be faced this week with decisions. All of us are going to make choices. We've got to make decisions. These things are coming. They're inevitable, aren't they? But what I want us to make sure of is that Jesus Christ is part of our decision-making process. He's part of every thought that we have. Our every action, our every reaction should have Christ Jesus right in the middle of that. Are we all in agreement so far? So let's take a look at just a few points, just some things we can consider as we talk about the title of our lesson today, No Room for Jesus. This lesson was brought to you about 3 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. Part of the lesson was, and I was asked just a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, if I would bring it back, but I had to kind of redo some things because what I said to you back in 2021, I look back at the lesson, it made absolutely no sense. So for the 1 to 2 that asked me about this particular lesson, I tried to bring it back, so I've had to change a few things. But as we get into our points this morning, the first point I want us to examine as we talk about no room for Jesus, listen to me. Let's find it. Let's just go over there. Let's go to the book of Luke. Is that all right with everybody? Let me show it to you. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 16 through 21. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want us to see this. Listen. In the life of the rich fool, this is your first point. In the life of the rich fool, there wasn't any room for Jesus, was it? If anybody knows anything about this guy, there wasn't any room for the righteousness of God. So let's take a look and see what the Bible's talking about. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Then he, and who's the he? He spoke a parable. That's a, what is that? Our earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Thank you, Darlene. He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man, it yielded plentifully. What does that mean? That means that everything grew just about right. You know, it yielded. It gave of itself, didn't it? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be what? But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose of these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. So what do we see that happened here? I said it before, I'll say it again. It doesn't show that he was abusive to anyone. It doesn't say that he was neglecting or rejecting his family. It doesn't say that he participated in illegal activity. The Bible just simply showed that there wasn't much concern for those that was about him. Isn't that right? So Jesus tells us over in the book of James 1:27, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We have a responsibility. Brothers and sisters, with all these blessings that you and I enjoy, let me remind you again that with these blessings also comes responsibility, doesn't it? He's not going to just keep pouring and shedding blessings upon you and me if we're not shedding blessings upon others. All right. So make sure that we have room for Jesus in our life in that situation. Look how the Lord responded to that particular fellow. He says, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Jesus is saying, you know what? It is time to clock out, isn't it? And what did Jesus call him in that parable? "Thou what? Fool, you are done." Listen, this parable of the rich fool shows a man that had been blessed. I mean, he had been thoroughly and truly blessed, without a doubt. Blessed with abundance. But then we have this same guy, Brother Larry, that made no provisions for those that needed his help. He had no room for Jesus in his life, did he? He says, look at all these things that I earned. I did this. Are you picking up on that? How many times do we hear people say, well, I did that and I busted my hand in to get this done and I did this and I worked day and night and I did this and I labored and you didn't do squat. God gave you what you've got. Amen. He's got it on loan. Everything that I have is not mine. Everything that you have, quit acting like it's yours. It's not. It belongs to God. Amen. And understand that, boom, he can take it in two snaps. No, I'm lying to you. He can take it in one snap. He can take it in a blink of an eye. What we have belongs to God. That doesn't just limit itself to houses and cars and your bank account. It doesn't limit it to all these things. It is also your life. Jesus Christ will take and can take and will. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this the judgment. Which warrants the question again, is there room for Jesus in your life? Death is coming. We have these evangelists that make an individual feel like they're just going to live forever, and spiritually we are if we're Christians, amen? But we need to be reminded that this life that we're living, this physical life, oh, it is truly limited. And if this is all that the physical life has to offer, I'm still longing for my spiritual life. I'm still longing for that beautiful place called heaven. That's what this is all about. Are we in agreement so far with that? No room in the inn, no room in people's lives. Blessed so much, this individual, he had it all, didn't he? Had everything that he wanted, everything that really and truly that he could even possibly need in regard to the physical things. But sadly, he was broke. What a paradox. He was broke. He was filthy rich, Larry, because he had all these things, but he was also spiritually bankrupt, Tony. You get it? He had it all, didn't he? He had everything you could ever want. But he was flat broke, spiritually speaking. Let me stay broke physically. I got $11.90 in the account. Well, Paula said that I had $11.40, but I thought I had $11.90. I'll stay with $11.40 or 90 cents. I'll be happy just right there. I don't ever want to cash out my spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? Not going to do it. Ain't going to do it. Not interested in that program. So looking at our own lives this moment, this very second, are we like that rich fool? Are we caught up in what we can accomplish, what we think we've done? Let us be reminded, snap of a finger, it can be gone. Amen? So can your life. Let me tighten that up. So will your life. Jesus tells us it is appointed once for man to die, after this the judgment. Paul told the Corinthian people that. He said, you know what? We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account for what you've done, whether good or bad. Because each Corinthian brethren was kind of getting caught up and not believing that was going to happen. There was some idol worship going on. There was some immorality going on. There's all this type of thing happening. Paul reminded them. So in the life of the rich fool, from what I read, I didn't see much room for Jesus. Did you? Anybody besides the four over here, y'all see much room for Jesus? Amy's like, no, we didn't, Jerry. Okay, very good. You ready for your second point? In the life of the rich young ruler, there was no room for Jesus. Let's go ahead over to Luke 18 for that. Luke 18, 18 through 23. I want to stay in a book of Luke with this one for just a moment. And let's see how we have yet another individual, Teresa, another one that's been blessed by the Lord beyond measure. But even with these blessings, no room, darling, for Jesus. We're going to see that here in just a second. So keep that in mind as we read Luke 18, 18 through 23. Everybody ready? The Bible says, now a certain ruler asked him, talking about Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and who is that? Thank you. You know the commandments. He said, do not commit adultery. Do not honor your, and he said, all these things I've kept from you. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack something. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and do what? But when he heard this, the Bible says that he went away sorrowful, for he had great wealth. Nothing wrong with being wealthy. Nothing wrong with being loaded, if I may, okay? But it is wrong if you've got so much, and this abundance is so much, that is your life, that it's absorbed you, that it has filled your heart. There's no room for Jesus, is it? And we see that he left the very presence of Jesus in a sorrowful way, didn't he? Because he had great wealth? You think that's the only reason? No. The Bible says because he had great possession. The problem that we can read into that or see that real clearly is he had so much wealth, he had all these possessions, they had become his God. Amen? God's small g. Those things is where he placed his value. He wasn't looking for building treasures in heaven. He knew who Jesus was. Matter of fact, Amy, he walked up and said, good teacher, what do I need to do? He recognized, darling, he recognized the authority of Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. But Jesus told him, said, hey, man, you still get caught up in all this rich stuff. You got to let it go. Come on and follow me. I'll take care of you. What passage in the Bible can we think about putting in first? Matthew 6. Woo, four of you saved the rest of them. Matthew 6, 33, say it with me. Seek ye the kingdom of and his and all these things. Y'all did, okay, I'm going to get you out 3 minutes earlier then because you did that. All right, so that's what you and I have to do. When we look at the life of the rich young ruler, when you look into his heart, it was empty, wasn't it? Because there was nothing about Jesus. Once again, we see a guy who was loaded. We see a guy, Dana, that was very wealthy. We see a guy that, matter of fact, let me not discount him that much. Jared, here's a guy that did what Jesus told him to do. Here's a guy who did what he was supposed to do, but it was on the outside, wasn't it? Don't commit murder, I haven't. Don't commit adultery, I haven't. Honor your father and your mother, I have. He's done all of these things on outward, but he still did not have room for who? Didn't have room for Jesus in his life. He was acting like a Christian. Kind of goes back to how people today know God, but do they know God? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm getting at? All right. So this is what was going on in that situation. So in the life of the rich young ruler, there wasn't any room for Jesus. A moment ago, we looked at the life of the rich fool. There wasn't any room for Jesus. Now let's go to the book of Acts. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 26. Y'all already there, aren't you? It's not fair. Acts chapter 26. Let's look at 22 through 28. Here's a guy named King Agrippa. King Agrippa was in a situation, wasn't he? We're going to see in his life, there was also no room for Jesus. We're going to see that Paul talked to him. Paul was trying to preach to him. So let's take a look at King Agrippa after hearing Paul's defense of the gospel, if I may. So Acts chapter 26, 22 through 28. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witness in both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. That the Christ would suffer and that he would be first to rise from the... And the Bible said would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. He thought Paul was what? Losing it. Say it with me. Losing it. But he wasn't, was he, Larry? He was proclaiming it. He was teaching it. Watch this. But he says, I am not mad, most noble Festus. I would have been mad if I was Festus. Somebody named me Festus. And so I think he's the one upset. But Festus, What is it? Oh, it's Gunsmoke Festival. Never mind. Get back on track. But speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this, watch this, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, watch, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Now watch, listen to what Paul's saying. We know who you are. You know who you are. You know who this Jesus is. You believe in him. Now watch. Then Agrippa said to Paul, You almost persuade me to become a Christian. But he didn't, did he? Nowhere when I read way after that, because I know Harvey's going to say, did you read after that? So I did, I read after it, but I don't see anywhere where Agrippa invited Christ into his life. I don't see where he had his heart open for Jesus Christ. I don't see where baptism took place. I don't see where he made that confession. I don't see where he made that turnaround. I just don't see it. Now here, we can't say, well, maybe he was uneducated. This guy was a king, wasn't he? This guy was one of authority. He worked his way up there. He was a man that was greatly respected. So even in this high position of authority, did not have room for who? Did not have room for Jesus. So let that be a reminder to us. Don't ever think that we're so high that we don't need Jesus Christ. Every one of us humbly beg and pray for forgiveness. And every one of us need Jesus Christ. You and I are sinners. Understand that? We cannot make atonement for our own sin. We can't work it away. We can't earn it away. It is by God's grace, His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness that we have a home in heaven being prepared. But your responsibility comes from being an obedient, faithful Christian. Amen? All right. So let's make sure that we are not like King Agrippa. Thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian. I often wonder, and it's so sad, me being in the mortuary business, how many people go to their graves, laying in that man-made casket, going into eternity without ever knowing Jesus Christ. Got my own family. Scares me to death. I see it every single day at the funeral home. People say he never knew Jesus. We can't judge him, but never darkened the way of a church. Never talked about Jesus. Don't even know if they even believe him. No room for Jesus. Successful people, measured by the world, successful people. I think the poorest individual in the whole wide world, the one that don't have a mite, the one that don't have a cent, the one that don't have a crumb, can be the most filthiest rich person in the whole wide world. Amen? If you got Jesus, you got it all. Say it. If you got Jesus, you got it all. So let's not act like Agrippa and know who Jesus is, but don't bring him in our lives. We, listen to me, Agrippa, a man of authority, a king, an individual who listened to Paul's speech regarding Christianity, says, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. He knew, didn't he? How many of us can find ourselves like Agrippa? Yeah, I know what I need to do. Hadn't done it yet. I know that I need to become a Christian. Now's not the time. Well, when is the time? When is the time for you to put the world aside? Quit holding hands with the devil. Hold hands with Jesus. Your life, I has promised that it's going to end. Amen? It is promised from Jesus that our life's going to end. So why not make sure that things are right in our walk with him? There wasn't, in the life of the rich fool, there wasn't any room for Jesus. In the life of the rich young ruler, there wasn't any room for Jesus. In the life of King Agrippa, though he thought he knew everything, there wasn't any room for Jesus. This is your final point, this lesson's going home with you. How about in our lives? We've talked about the rich young ruler, we talked about the rich fool, we talked about King Agrippa. I believe that is endless. But let's bring it down to you and me. What about in our lives? Is there room for Jesus in your life? Are you showing that each and every day? Looking deeply into your own life and in my own life, is Jesus there? Do we have that relationship with him? Do we have Jesus Christ dwelling in our lives? Is he dwelling in us and are we in him? Do we have Jesus dwelling in his heart and does it show? Is there proof in our life? Is there evidence of our Christianity? When people see us, how we act and react, do they know that we are a child of the Most High God? Do they recognize and know that we're Christians? Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, what does the Bible say about that? Thank you. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are to live our life in a way that God is glorified. Is that about right? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, say it with me, let your, that they may see your, I love y'all, proud of you. Okay, so that's what we are to do, amen? Let our light so shine. Make sure that there's room in our lives. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, make sure Jesus is part of that. So is Jesus in your life today? Is he in your heart and is he in my heart? What about our young folks? What about them? Is Jesus in their lives? Is there room for Jesus in the lives of the real young folks as well? Or do electronics and cell phones get more allegiance from Jesus? I mean, from that than they do Jesus? How much allegiance does Jesus get? How much regard and respect does he get? Is Jesus first and foremost? We talk about middle age. We talk about the elderly. We talk about the youth. Really don't matter. What matters is our focus better be on Jesus Christ. Amen? And there better be room for him in our lives. Adults, hey, yeah, you and me. Is there room for Jesus in our lives? Is there room for Jesus in your workplace? The place that you go every single day or whatever your work schedule is. Do they know that you're a Christian? More importantly, does Christ Jesus see you acting as a Christian and living your life as a Christian? Is there room for Jesus there at your workplace? Is there room for Jesus in your life, in your home? If Jesus Christ were to knock at the door of your home today, would there be room for him? Or would you have to have Jesus, Lord, I'm going to have to ask you to stand outside for a moment while I go in here and pick up some magazines that's laying around, that old suggestive material, that old nasty literature. Maybe I need to get that and hide it first. Lord, I'm going to have to ask you to wait outside while I go open the refrigerator and get rid of some things that shouldn't be in the refrigerator. If you just give me a little bit, I'll be back and I'll let you in. Lord, I'm going to have to ask you to wait outside because I got some rubbish going on and I need to work on that. Are y'all getting a picture or not? So what do you think? Lord, give me just another moment. I didn't realize it was you and I need to go change the channel on the television. Lord, if you can wait a minute, let me go turn this off because I got a movie going on in here that is for what we have called adults only. If the movie says adults only, don't turn it on. Amen? If it's adults only, that means it's nasty. If it's adults only, that means even these people, these multimillionaires that put all their stuff out, realizes and knows they got to stay within the law, but it's not good for kids. Let's use good grammar here. If it ain't good for the young'un, it ain't good for us. I like that. He said, amen. You go, girl. And so I suggest that every one of y'all, when you get home today, watch Charlotte's Web. And don't do what my sister did and eat bacon while she watched Charlotte's Web. Sick girl. Okay. So when we talk about that, let me close our lesson. In our government today, Jerry, don't judge. I'm going to. And then I'll ask for forgiveness later. In our government today, not every single one of them, but there don't appear to be much room for Jesus. Amen? It doesn't seem like it. In our school system today, there is no room for Jesus. In many homes across America today, don't seem like there's a whole lot of room for Jesus. Sadly, many of the congregations that call themselves the church, not much room for Jesus. Jesus has been left out standing at the door. Man-made doctrine, man-made creeds, all these things that mankind comes up with has slowly moved itself into the church, hasn't it? We know we got brotherhood today. They look at us like we're crazy because, well, y'all just that wound up not having a piano and organ? Absolutely, because the Lord did not give us any example that we could have musical instruments in this building. Amen? Would I have a problem with you bringing a guitar in here in the back if it's on a Thursday night? I don't care what you do. I don't care, but you ain't going to bring it in during worship. Amen? All right, we just don't allow it. But how is it that some of these buildings, some of these people that call themselves the church with the Church of Christ name across the top of it, how do they allow that? I'll tell you how they allow it, because it slowly crept in, didn't it? A little at a time, darling. And these preachers, these old weak-back preachers, that'll just sit there and watch that happen, all in the name because that's their job? I would hate to be in their shoes on Judgment Day. Preachers need to take a stand and preach the Word. Amen? Be firm behind the Word. Present the Word. And if the congregation is not receptive of that and the congregation does something and the leadership is allowing things to go and compromise what the scripture says, hey, preachers, hightail it out of there. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Do you get that? How many of us are preachers today? Say it louder. All of us are preachers. You may not be the guy up here behind the wood, but you are preaching a sermon every single day. Are we together so far? Let's close then. John 4:24. God is a, and those who worship Him, the Lord must be awfully displeased with some of the things that He sees going on in the church today. When He looks and we see the things going on about us, all in the name of religion, air quotes, these places that call themselves the church, air quotes, when He sees that so many people have added to and taken away from what He says is allowable and what the way He says that we are to worship God, He must be awfully displeased. I don't want Him displeased with us here, amen? So that's why we're going to just do what the Bible says. We are going to preach and teach the oracles of God. I'll tell you all the time what the Bible says. How many times have you heard me say, it ain't what Jerry says, it's what the... So you've heard it. I'm not going to be charged with that on Judgment Day. So let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that there's room for Jesus in our lives. The church today needs folks that are serious about the Lord's business. The church needs men and women that have Christ Jesus as their focal point. The church today needs real fishermen of men and not keepers of the aquarium. The church needs solid Bible preaching preachers. Amen? That is what they got to have. Too many preachers have become soft in their preaching, and the result is members have become soft in their living because it was a slow process. When we let that guard down, guess who's coming across the wall? Satan himself. He wants to divide this congregation. He wants to divide and conquer. I love this good grammar. We ain't going to allow it, are we? Nope, we're going to stick to the Word. But we got to have Bible preaching preachers. You got to have solid Bible teaching teachers that are out there teaching what the Scripture says. Solid members, y'all listen. Solid members that are very, very, very serious about the Lord's business. Putting the church, putting His business first and foremost. Is there room for Jesus in your life? Christ stands at the door and He's knocking today. He wants to come into your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. The Bible tells us that over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I stand and knock. You can open the door or not. Now that's paraphrased a little, but that is the question. Amen. Are you going to open the door or not? I stand before you. I stand before God, and I'm telling you that there is room for Jesus in my life. I hope and pray that He'll always be in my life. I'm not ever going to intentionally close Him out, because I know without Jesus, I'm doomed to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't like dwelling with people that the Bible describes as going to be those inhabitants of hell. I don't like being around them here. I sure don't want to be with them for eternity. Amen? Make things right today. If you're not a Christian, become one. What are you waiting on? Get that done. Hear His Word. Did I give it to you? Did I back it with Scripture? Okay. So you've heard God's Word. Then you got to believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Believe He died for your sins and for my sins. He took the sin, He took the guilt, He carried it to the cross for you and for me. Then make that confession in the presence of a witness that you believe that Jesus is God's Son. You believe in what He did. Because of that, you're going to change the way you're living. You're going to start living for Jesus, not for yourself. You're going to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. No other reason. For the forgiveness of your sins, Jesus told us to. We're going to come out of that water and give a baptism, dead to sin, alive to God. Which means we're going to live every day that we can for Jesus. Yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to fall short. I messed up every single day. Thank you, God above. I've got a relationship with Him. You have to do what the Bible calls us to do, and that is to be baptized with the forgiveness of sin. There is also an antitype which now saves us, namely, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter told him in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, let every one of you repent and be for the forgiveness of your, and you shall receive the gift of the, very good, Amy. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. He who believes and is shall be saved. But who believes not shall be condemned. The choice is yours. Maybe you are a Christian. You've wandered from the fold of safety. Maybe you were baptized a long time ago for the forgiveness of sins. Listen to what I just said. You were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's the case, and you kind of fell away from the church. There's a warrant for you. God sent that warrant out. You need to come forth. You need to repent of that sin. You need to be restored so you can walk in the newness of life. If you're a Christian today that's been rejecting and neglecting things that you know you should have been doing, let us pray with you for you, help you, and encourage you. If you have a need, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand and we sing.